This is Over Coffee with Dot Cannon. Janis Joplin was a rock pioneer with a down-to-earth approach to her music. Before her untimely death in 1970, she would also be a groundbreaker, opening doors for women in the music business and daring to be herself at a time when female singers were usually groomed within an inch of their lives and had a very sweet, delicate sound. That was not Janis, and starting this week, you'll get a chance to know her a lot better as Cleveland blues singer Mary Bridget Davies portrays her in the musical One Night with Janis Joplin. That's opening tomorrow evening at the Pasadena Playhouse. We talked about the experiences that had led Mary Bridget up to this role. Mary Bridget, how did you first discover the music of Janis Joplin?
Through my parents. My father was a musician, and my mother, she sang, but never professionally. She's a great singer. And they just had the best records, and they were always playing music, you know, and they are baby boomers, so it was all the good stuff from, like, the 60s and 70s. So I can remember her in my life as long as I have memories.
And you were a fan from the very beginning?
Oh, yeah. I was like, this woman is crazy, like, you know, screaming. And my mom, we had a green corduroy couch. I remember my mom, I was jumping up and down, screaming along to Peace of My Heart. I remember that. And I was like, you know, six or something, you know, so yeah.
Tell me about the start of your own career as a singer.
Well, I never had formal training. I just sang in choir, and every year we would have an honors choir where we would go to a local college that actually has a great music program. So I knew I could sing, and I knew how to sing properly, and I loved to do it. But for some reason, I mean, I danced right out of high school. I went on a dance tour before I even started college, and then I started acting, and I was in an improv comedy company, and then I said, finally, when I was like 21, I'm like, I think I really need to do this. So I went to a jam night, and it was Robert Lockwood Jr.'s jam, and he passed away a few years ago, but he was Cleveland's, you know, crown jewel as far as blues is concerned. He was Robert Johnson's stepson, so, I mean, it was a big deal, and I was totally scared, and I went and listened, and then I went to a jam night the next week, and it just started from there. They waited till the very end of the night just in case I wasn't any good, so no one was there, and I was hired into my first band that night.
How exciting was that?
Yeah, it was great.
What went through your mind up there on the stage with your first band after getting hired?
Why didn't I start this sooner? Like, this is so much fun, and it's just that extra outlet for your emotions, and that's what really drew me to Janis, is you could tell that she was, you know, giving herself her own therapy while she's up there wailing and going through it, and it really does, it gives you such a natural, you know, adrenaline high, and you're around, you know, all your friends, and you're making music, and you're making other people happy, you know, like, it just, I was like, this is where it's at, I love this, you know.
Your career is unique in that you've been in not one but two shows in which you've gotten to portray Janis Joplin.
Yeah, it's crazy. I just think, you know, when Love Janis first came to Cleveland, I was in college, so I couldn't come back and go see it. But my mom, you know, she was like, oh, well, next time it comes around, we'll go. And I was like, okay. And then it was in my brain then. I was like, wait, there's a play about her? You know, and I was at college, and when I got home in the summer, I convinced my parents. I said, we need to go see that play. And they're like, well, where is it? I said, it's in New York City. I had already done all the research, you know, how kids are. And they were like, all right, well, let's go. And I went to see it. And, you know, there are two women that do the Love Janis. And there were always two singers alternating an equal amount of time, like four shows a week. So we went two nights in a row so we could see both the singers, who are now two of my best friends. Just this whole Janis thing has really brought us all together, like the quality people that were supposed to be in my life, I think. You know, like we always say that she's like moving us all around on the cosmic chessboard to get in touch with each other, you know. But Love Janis, when it finally came to Cleveland, there was an audition. And I was like, I'm not going to go see it. I'm going to go audition for it, you know. And there's like 150 girls, and we all went in, and I came out with the job like 2 days later, you know, because it went through callbacks and then the final callbacks. But the first time I ever got to play Janis was in my hometown, which is very cool. It was very cool because it was so scary, and it was so nice to know that my family was out there, and, you know, that I had that extra support instead of the road, which is really what we're used to, is it's just a different place every day and just strangers, and know, you make it and you know that people are supporting you from afar, but it was really nice to have that opportunity. And then when I auditioned for One Night with Janis Joplin, it was here in Cleveland. The first time I did it here in Cleveland. So that was the last time there was ever a Janis show in town. So all my family and friends, you know, that went to see me 6 years ago and loved Janis came back and they were all here. And all the people that missed me in Love Janis, you know, came to One Night with Janis Joplin and got to see me because I'm the only one on stage in Love Janis. There were two women, you know. So it's been really, it's been strangely convenient that I got all that hometown love two times in a row kicking off a tour. So
I love the idea of Janis moving you around on a cosmic chessboard. That is just a very fun image.
It is, isn't it? She's just sitting there.
What's the biggest challenge for you in bringing her character to life?
I want people to believe me, that I am up there doing my best for them. I'm not up there going through the motions, or I'm just some actress that landed a role. I love Janis. I'm a fan of hers. I want to put on a show that I would want to see. Do you know what I'm saying? It means more to me than just a paycheck. And I want people to connect and feel that and be moved and learn something about her that they didn't already know. Because she, unfortunately, you know, when you give everybody a tableau, like, who is this person? And you give them, like, one sentence. They're just like, oh, she was a big, raging, drunk hippie that died of an overdose. You know, there's so much more to her than that. And so we kind of try to bring the other side out. And in Love, Janis, that was a dramatic play. I mean, we hit all her lows. We did. And it was, you know, it was hard. And I know that, you know, Michael and Laura Joplin, her siblings, that with One Night with Janis Joplin, they're like, let's just celebrate the music. Let's, you know, I don't want to sit there and watch my sister die on stage every night. Can we just make it like some kind of thing where she magically came back and she's going to tell you about, you know, what music means to her and who her influences were and have a big knockdown, drag-out show. So that's what this one is more. And I know that sometimes people, I don't know if they feel disappointed that we don't go into the real dark stuff. But I just, you know, that's not all of who she was. And if anything was the most important thing to her, it was music, you know, first. And then, you know, then her troubles. But yeah, it always kind of makes me sad when people are like, yeah, it was a really good show, but yeah, they really didn't go into how, like, messed up Janis was. I'm like, oh, do you really want to watch that? You want to watch someone else's suffering? Like, okay, I don't know. That's not my, I wouldn't go to see that, some really sad thing. Because we're, you know, when you come to this show, expect to be moved and expect to be entertained, you know.
You're listening to Over Coffee here on Lancer Radio at lancerradio.org. I'm Dot Cannon. Imagine portraying a rock legend on stage, and imagine that you get it so right that it's almost eerie. That is the experience blues singer Mary Bridget Davies has had. She stars in the musical One Night with Janis Joplin, which is opening tomorrow evening at the Pasadena Playhouse. Not only does Mary Bridget say that Janis has influenced her for her whole life, she's actually toured with Janis's old band, Big Brother and the Holding Company. She has portrayed her in two shows, the national tour of the musical Love Janis and this one, One Night with Janis Joplin. But perhaps the best of all the hit reviews she's had are from Janis Joplin's younger brother and sister. Michael Joplin has actually said that he's seen you portray Janis on stage and it almost freaks him out because you've got her mannerisms down. How'd that happen for you?
Well, my parents got me, like I said, wolf, and this is something I always like to joke. I dressed up as her for Halloween in like 7th grade. And, I mean, we're all 80s kids, right? So all my friends were like, who are you, Elton John? And I was like, no, I'm Janis Joplin. And they were like, who's that? And I'm like, shame on you for not knowing. But, you know, they didn't grow up in a rock and roll household. They grew up normal, you know. And so I got this documentary video from my parents, a VHS tape. I think it was called Janis the Way She Was. And it's interviews and concert footage and stuff like that. And it's a lot of the performances, I think three of them, are from Festival Express, and it was before they released Festival Express. And I would just watch them like, you know, like my favorite movie, and I would just sit there and kind of parrot her. You know, I'd be sitting and like, you know, if she does certain things with her hands or her eyebrows or when she's talking, even, you know, like I think it's more important because it just kind of naturally comes to me, like her mannerisms when I'm singing, you know. And, well, now that I've been doing it so long, it's kind of second nature. But, yeah, I just watched her, and she was just so fascinating to me that I just wanted to mimic it. So I joke, like, I kind of was, you know, rehearsing for this role a long time before I knew it was even coming. You know, I had that advantage, which is very cool. But, yeah, I still watch it from time to time, and it's great. And a lot of the lines in the play are, you know, from it. And I'm like, oh, my gosh, I totally knew this. I had half the script memorized before I even, you know, walked in the room.
Something you knew and you're not knowing here.
Exactly.
What do you find that audience members in their 20s or maybe even 30s say about Janis Joplin after seeing your performance?
They're like, wow, that, I'm going to go listen to all her music now. Like, because they will stay after. A lot of people, and of course, baby boomers, stay after, and they're like, I saw Janis in, you know, Lansing, Michigan at a roller rink in 1965, you know, like, and it's so cool to hear those stories. But when it's someone who'd never seen her or didn't know anything about her, like, at this point, their grandparents took them to see the play, you know. They're like, we had to know, like, it's funny, we did a show for high school kids. We did a matinee for high school kids. And you know, I swear in the show, whatever, Janis swore. And the first time I, like, threw out an F-bomb, you know, a bunch of giggles ripped through the crowd. And then they were with me. Because, you know, sometimes it takes, you know, certain things to get people to, like, come along. Like, true Janis purists, I don't think, are with us really until we do Summertime and Peace in My Heart. You know, it's like I have to pass muster for them. You know, I have to pass the test. And then they're with us, you know. But 20-year-olds are like, I had no idea that you could. Or this one girl said, it's just such a shame that she died because she had so much more to give. And I'm like, whoa, you could see that just from the show, you know. So it is enlightening to other people, and it's nice to turn it on to younger people. Because really, at my age, I'm not supposed to know it by default. You know, it wasn't on the radio when I was growing up. You know, I just had that, like I said, that really awesome record collection of my parents to go off of. But they're digging it, and a couple girls in the high school thing, they wrote blogs about it, and they went and bought, you know, the book Love Janis and stuff, so it's cool.
What do you consider is one of the most important lessons that you've learned from Janis about your own craft as a musician, songwriter, and a storyteller with a new CD?
I would have to say I'm naturally goofy. Like, that's just my personality. And so was she, the more that I got to know her. And by no means does that mean we're not serious, you know, and I just, her whole truth message, you know, every little blurb you ever hear about Janis, you know, don't compromise yourself, you're all you've got, you know, and things like that. And it's like, she just, no matter how awkward it looked or sounded or what it made sense to you, if it made sense to you, great. If it didn't, that's fine, because, you know, I'm bringing you a message. Like, that was important to her, and it was important to me, too, because you don't want a whole record of songs about guy hurts girl, girl is sad, you know. And she went, you know, she got, we all start that way because we all start writing usually from a place of, you know, pain or whatever. You're a teenager writing poems, and then they turn into songs. But she just had this truth and, like, an urgency when she performed. Like, you need to listen to this right now. Like, you know, like, in some of the rants in between music breaks, you know, and stuff in different songs, you know, and she says, you know, if you got it today, you don't wear it tomorrow, man. You know, talking about how, you know, we're going to do it now, and you better hold on to it, and you better, you know, love that man like it's the last day of your life. You know, things like that. She's very sincere and very serious, and then you'd get her, that's in, like, songwriting mode. And then she'd do a song, and she'd be, you know, crazy into it. And then she'd go sit down on Dick Cavett's couch, and the first thing they're doing is laughing and making jokes. You know, and so it was like, she let me know that it's okay to do it all, to just be yourself and be honest. And those who like you, they'll like you no matter what. And those who don't, who care? You know, so it doesn't matter. And when writing songs, you know, sometimes I've never sat there and been like, well, you know, what would Janis do? but she's definitely, you know, popped into my mind. Or I'll start writing something and I'm like, oh, yeah, I've heard that song before. You know, because it's like, you know, some you know, C version of a song she already wrote. And I'm like, oh, man, you know. Oh, like, actually, I was just listening to a Stax record, and it was, like, a best of, and it was this group called the Mad Labs, and they did Crybaby as, like, a soul song, like, with, like, all the backup singers, you know, like, it's like a Temptations kind of thing. And it was incredible. And I know she didn't write that song, but her interpretations were just, you know, she loved blues and soul music so much, but she could take it and make it her own. And I learned how to do that from her.
Mary Bridget, thank you for your time today.
Thank you. That was fun.